New Vrindavan morning class, CC Andhya 20 verse 10, January 19th, 2020.
Intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Purport by his divine grace. This verse is spoken by Saint Kalabhajana in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32. For further information, meaning it's repeated earlier, see Adi Leela chapter 3, verse 52. Translation. Please repeat. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting.
Intelligent persons perform congregation chanting
to worship the incarnation of Godhead.
To worship the incarnation of Godhead,
who constantly sings the names of Krishna.
Constantly sings the names of Krishna.
Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself.
He is Krishna himself.
He is accompanied by his associates.
He is accompanied by his associates.
Servants. Weapons.
Weapons.
Confidential companions. This verse, which begins in the Adi Leela as an introduction to Chaitanya Leela, citing Srimad Bhagavatam as the authority, is repeated here at the conclusion of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the last chapter, which is the Shikshastra prayers, which immediately follow this verse. The great pundit, Nimaya Nadia, left only 8 written verses, the Shikshastra, to explain to devotees for all time to come the purpose, the process of chanting all the names of Krishna. And then right after this verse, he begins his Shikshastra, beginning with Chaitanya Jagannath, who he saw as the son of Nanda Maharaj. With his two most intimate companions, Sri Sarupdamodar and Ramananda Rai, who are Lalita Vishakha from Krishna Leela, Lord Chaitanya was delving deep, more than ever before, into his actual internal purpose for coming, which is, again, established in the audience. There's internal and external purposes to the Lord's coming. And they happen to coincide perfectly with what happened at the end of Dipara Yuga and how Kali Yuga began. And this is the only Satya Yuga when in a day of Brahma, when the Treta and Dvapara Yuga change positions to facilitate Lord Chaitanya's coming. And therefore Krishna revealed his Bhaj Lila at the end of the Dvapara Yuga to set the scene for the appearance of Lord Gauranga in the following Kali Yuga. Krishna revealed to this world the wonders of his Bhajlila. And he fulfilled most of his desires in doing so. Chaitanya Charitamrita reveals Krishna's confidential thoughts regarding his Bhajlila. He was contemplating that I brought my Brijavasi associates with me to reveal the essence of pure love, which is found only in Braja, where I perform pastimes amazing even to myself, Krishna was thinking. And yet, he was considering, in a sense, that he had actually done a disservice to the world. Because he was contemplating, hearing my Bhajlila, everyone would be attracted. And yet, they have no access, no means of entering into those sweet and holy groves of Braja, which are a mystery even to the Vedas themselves, hidden within their own verses. It is only by the influence of the Chintamani dust of a pure devotee Braja that the mysteries and intricacies and wonders of Braja can be understood, because that would imply the mind revealed within the heart. So Krishna was thinking that his Vrindavan Lila would actually be, it would definitely be inaccessible to the world. So what did he do? He attracted everyone to his Bhaja Lila, everyone who heard, and yet they have no access to it. And he was contemplating that everywhere in the world people naturally worship me by Vaidhi Bhakti, that is civilized persons. Vaidhi Bhakti means the vidhi, the rules and regulations of sadhana. And by perfection in that sadhana, the jiva can attain Vaikuntha. And Krishna realized that would be the natural consequence of his Brajlila, that people would be so inspired that they would practice sadhana bhakti and thereby attain Vaikuntha. The problem is that in Vaikuntha there is no access to Braja, other than return to earth, where Braj bhakti is accessible. So Krishna concluded, I'll have to perform another lila, in which I reveal pastimes amazing even to myself, to grant to the living entities of this material world access to Raja, and therefore. And simultaneously with Krishna's thoughts on the matter, the time approached for the incarnation of the age, and Krishna was being attracted by the prayers of Dvaitacharya, the kirtans of Srivas and his brothers, and the chanting of Haridasa Thakur. He considered that he would himself reveal the Yuga Dharma, which is chanting all the names, said kirtan. There again, Sankirtan Yoga is the Yuga Dharma for the age of Kali. And by performing Nam Sankirtan, following the Vaidhi of Sadhana, that congregational chanting awards the destination of Vaikuntha. Normally. This is not the normal Kali Yuga. It's the exceptional one in a thousand when the Lord comes as a devotee to teach the world by his example how to attain to Brajbhakti. So here in Antilila, he's composing his own verses, which he's sharing with Ramananda Rai. And we're right now on the verge of his entering into Shikshastra, where he is exploring the emotions and meaning of his own verses and everything said and done before. When we worship Lord Gauranga, by the practice of Sankirtan, addressing him as Mahaprabhu, this is Vaidhi Bhakti, which takes us to Vaikuntha. Worshipping the Lord of Vaikuntha, Gaur Narayan, as Nimai of Nadia, we're worshipping the Yuga Avatar by the Yuga Dharma by which we attain to Vaikuntha. There is another dimension in Chaitanya Lila, and that is that along with the Lord's external desires for coming to establish the Yuga Dharma, he had his own internal reasons, and that is desiring to understand the glory of Srimati Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him, Krishna, which she alone can really relish and cherish by means of her love, and the sublime joy and happiness she feels in tasting the sweetness of his love. The Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, therefore we have here Akrishna. He's not dark. He's not sapphire complexion. He is Gaura, golden. Richly endowed with her emotions, which is indicated by her complexion, golden. He comes as the golden. Which he does in every age of Kali, to establish the Dharma by which the jivas attain Vaikuntha. Only once in the day of Brahma, the exceptional Kali, or the one out of a thousand, when he comes as a devotee to give and teach something exceptional beyond the Yoga Dharma. You could call it the Prema Dharma, as affirmed in the songs of Narottam Das Thakur, Goloka Prema Dharma, Harinam Sankirtan, the treasure of Goloka, which is Brajabhakti. The Lord reveals and distributes when he comes as a devotee. What is the difference when the Lord comes as a devotee compared to his normal mood as the Lord? And in Lord Chaitanya, you see both. Sometimes he's Ishvara, sometimes he's devotee, sometimes he's Krishna, sometimes he's Radha. And we follow the sadhana of the six Goswamis, which leads to the sadhana of Vrindavan. It's Vaidhi Bhakti, following the rules and regulations of scripture and chanting the holy name of the Lord and worshipping Gaur Narayan. And in that process we also worship Radha and Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi Narayana, which means majestic, reverential worship. So Krishna is pondering here. Everyone will worship in reverential devotion. But by that devotion, they will attain my Vaikuntha. They won't really please me. Because Krishna said, how am I pleased? When my beloved Gopa climbs on my shoulders and says, what kind of big man are you? You and I are equal. Or when my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood that steals my mind away from the reverential hymn of the Vedas. Krishna desires to exchange the purest form of love. And he was thinking that reverential worship, it cripples pure bhakti. And it can't attract or satisfy me, Krishna is thinking. Therefore, the six Goswamis have infused the normal sadhana bhakti with the spirit of Raganuga, which means what? Vaidhi Bhakti means following the rules and regulations of reverential worship to serve the Lord of Vaikuntha and achieve his planet as a final destination. Within that Vaidhi, the six Goswami, is Raganuga, which means what? Anuga means follow. They also have that Raga, that pure love of Vrindavan. And in so doing, Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati crystallizes the philosophy into one verse. When the worship of Lord Gauranga by Vaidhi Bhakti matures in the heart of his devotee, then he reveals his alternate feature as Radha and Krishna of Vrindavan, and he takes us to Braj. And then the one verse that really crystallizes the essence. When one dedicates himself to the mission of Lord Gauranga, and at some point, the golden luster that Srimati Radharani's lotus feet will dispel all darkness and gloom within his heart. Srila Prabhupada is very fond of the verses of Prabodhananda Saraswati, which condense so much Siddhanta into simple verses. Prabodhananda Saraswati sings in great exaltation. An emotion, like rising ocean tide, making his words immortal. Summarizing the treasure of Gauranga. Not accessible through Varnashram Dharma, or Vaidhi Bhakti, or prayer, or meditation, or tapasya, Bhakti, which Prabodhananda Saraswati says, was unknown even to many of Sri Govinda's personal servitors in Raja. That most esoteric form of bhakti, he has delivered in the form of Nama Sankirtan. We see many wonderful things in this world that reflect the nature of the spiritual sky. Even the marvels of modern technology amaze and enchant the mind of conditioned souls. When we see sophisticated aircraft flying in the sky, or spaceships hurtling through outer space, we're impressed. But do we consider, do we acknowledge that we are living on the most fantastic spaceship of all, hurtling through space at tremendous speed, in perfect orbit, carrying on her surface innumerable living entities, living in the natural regions of mountains, oceans, and rivers, and fields, and forests. We marvel at the creations of mankind, the actual wonders of creation. It's a matter to ponder that the greatest gifts of the Lord, even if perceived by the senses and registered by the mind, don't sink into the realm of consciousness from where they are intended to touch our hearts. We see the sculpture of the masters of old as they're preserved in museums, and we marvel at their artistic giftedness in making these wonderful sculptures. And it impresses us. Do we acknowledge it? Infinite sparks of consciousness called jivas enter into mother's womb to develop and take birth and grow into innumerable different forms. And they have personality. And they have the ability to love. But we don't marvel at that. Because we've seen it so many times that we tend to take it for granted. The supreme wonder of all, that the Lord has endowed in His holy name all His transcendental qualities, forgiveness, love, bhakti, and He has invested in His holy names the process to achieve the ultimate destination. Vaikuntha is like a king's court. And normally, the highest expectation or hope of any citizen of a kingdom would be to be elevated to the king's court, to interact with Him in a very reverential way, officially, by official protocol. No ordinary citizen would normally cherish the hope of entering into the king's intimate family, to live with them in the inner recesses of the kingdom, a very secret, confidential realm known as Praja. And yet, If the Lord so desires, by his infinite grace, he can choose anyone from his kingdom and grant them the opportunity to take up the process of Braj Bhakti, which is the sadhana, the perfection within the sadhana of Sankirtan. And we see the Sankirtan being performed before our very eyes every day. Acknowledged by our mind, but does it really enter the realm of our consciousness and from there to touch our hearts? The problem is that anything in creation, if readily and easily available, we tend to take it for granted and thereby blind ourselves and numb ourselves from the supreme wonder and love and grace in the Lord's prime benediction on humanity at large, spreading the rays of the benediction, the life of all transcendental knowledge, which expands the ocean of spiritual joy. We tend to take that for granted because it has been made by Srila Prabhupada's grace readily and easily available. And therefore, in the initial verses of Shikshastakam, Lord Gauranga cries out in a tearful voice in prayers to Lord Krishna, "I nanda tanirtikam karam, no etadashita lakripa bhagavan mabhi durdaiva midushanahati nanaraga." My Lord, you're so infinitely gracious that you've made yourself available, not in a reverential form, but in your Vrindavan feature, through the chanting of the holy name, which you have showered down graciously upon the living entities of this mortal world. And yet, I am so unfortunate that I take it for granted and therefore have developed no love for your holy name. Mahaprabhu was speaking the way we should learn to feel. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, in addition to beginning this movement, sitting in Tompkins Square Park, chanting Hare Krishna, he has also given us Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's most innermost confidential thoughts and moods and emotions. And in the pastimes revealed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are repeatedly reminded of the wonder and glory of the effects of the holy name of Krishna. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we hear the life of Raghunath Das Goswami, who is the only heir to a multi-million dollar fortune, and who had a wife more beautiful than an angel, and a father with many guards to keep him imprisoned in a palace. And being touched by that irresistible attraction of Rajna, he left everything behind to go and become the supreme mendicant, who wouldn't even accept a thatched hut for a residence until pressured by Siddhanta Goswami, to demonstrate, however attached and bound we may be, in his case, it was opulence comparable to that of Indra, with a wife more beautiful than an angel, And yet, he was drawn irresistibly by the sweetness of Braj. Now, when you consider this pastime from the perspective that Raghunath Das Goswami is a Nitya Siddha, eternal resident of Vrindavan, it's not so astounding. Further consider in the context that the whole universe was liberated by Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan. That was revealed through the words of Haridasa Thakur when the Lord asked him, feeling great compassion for this world, he confided in Haridasa Thakur, there's innumerable living entities here. How can they be delivered? And Haridasa said, don't worry, my Lord. They're already delivered by the loud sound of his Sankirtan. But there's so many immovable living entities like trees and flowers that don't have the ability to articulate the holy name. How will they be delivered? He said, they already are. Because by the sound of his Sankirtan, which resounded through the universe, there was an echo. It wasn't really an echo. It sounded like an echo, but it was really the kirtan of the non-moving living entities. And therefore, just like Lord Ram in Ayodhya, who took everyone back home with him, and yet simultaneously filled Ayodhya with new citizens, or Lord Krishna, whose lila liberated the entire universe, your pastimes have already delivered everyone. And Lord Chaitanya asks, but if the universe is all liberated, won't it be uninhabited? He said, no. You awaken subtle jivas to fill in all the gaps of those who attain to the spiritual sky. And Lord Chaitanya was wondering, how does Haridasa Thakur know my confidential thoughts? And he said, I heard about it from Vallabhadra Bhattacharya, who accompanied you in Jarikanda, where you saw every hill is Govardhan, every river is Jamuna. And by your Sankirtan, you induced the elephants to dance in ecstasy, chanting Hare Krishna, the deer and the tigers to embrace and kiss one another while dancing in Sankirtan. And what did Lord Gauranga, how did he comment when he saw this revelation in Jarikanda? Blessed is Vrindavan, the abode of the Lord, where even ferocious animals live together with human beings in transcendental friendship. Quoting Lord Brahma's prayers, having darshan, actual darshan of Raja, after his stealing the calves and cowherd boys. The transformation in the greatest scholars, like Prakasananda Saraswati Mayavadi, or Rupin Sanatana, who as Dharikasi Chakri Malik were the prime minister and finance minister for the king of Bengal, positions of great prestige and wealth, which they considered to be more useless and undesirable than refuse, and left it all behind to live as beggars in Vrindavan. What was the attraction that led souls like Raghunath Das Goswami, with treasures more vast than Indra, wife more beautiful than an angel, to consider it all meaningless and useless and empty, drawn irresistibly by the sweetness of Vrindavan. And yet, from the perspective of Nitya Siddha, it's not so amazing. Or from the perspective that everyone in the universe was liberated, it's not so amazing. And yet these pastimes are orchestrated to teach and inspire us that however attached or bound or offensive, Gopal Sapha, in the assembly of the Majumdars, who invited Haridas Thakur, and his presence inspired everyone to contemplate the glories of the holy name. And they asked him, can you speak? And he deferred to the pundits, said, what do you say about the glories of the holy name? And he said, the holy name awards liberation. The holy name counteracts all sinful reaction. And what do you say about the holy name, Haridas Thakur? And he said, what you said are concomitant bifactors of the holy name, granting liberation and forgiving all sins. That is the effect of Namabhas, which is like the dim saffron hue in the eastern horizon before the sun has risen. And with that indirect sunlight, the darkness is dispelled. Your fear is overcome. And people begin moving around and beginning their daily activities. When the sun actually crests over the horizon, it reveals everything in detail. Namabhas is like the dim glimmer of the sun that is yet to rise, granting liberation and forgiveness of all sins. The real effect of the holy name is awakening, Prilavagak, not in a reverential feature of Vaikuntha, but a type of love of God, Prabodhananda Saraswati, again, sings that the most esoteric form of devotional service unattainable by faithful following of our national dharma, faithful practice of the yuga dharma, prayer, renunciation, meditation, sadhana, not available by those processes. The most esoteric form of braj bhakti, unknown even to so many of Sri Govinda's personal servitors. That is the essence of the blessing of the holy name. In Srila Prabhupada's final days in Vrindavan, when he was allowing anyone and everyone to come visit him, free of the protocol of previous years, His Holiness Bhakti Charaswami explains very beautifully that one day he approached Sri Prabhupada's room to see that present was Krishnadas Babaji, the disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. The only Babaji that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati recognized as being authentic. He was so critical of so-called Babajis who imitate the dress of Paramahamsas, which are beyond even the sannyas order, and that he acknowledged one was actually on that highest platform of devotional perfection, Krishnadas Bhavati. So he came to visit Srila Prabhupada, and they were joking like young boys. Srila Prabhupada, this is from his final days in this world, and all, everyone in this class is seized in grief that he's about to depart. And here he is joking, like little boys, with Krishnadas Bhavati. And the laughter was contagious. It seems so contradictory. Srila Prabhupada is preparing to depart this world, His ISKCON movement has seized the irrestrictable grief of imminent separation from the beloved Gurudev, and Srila Prabhupada is joking and laughing with Krishnadas Babaji. And Bhanu Maharaj was also there. And then Babaji Maharaj began praising both Srila Prabhupada and Bhanu Maharaj. He said, "You're both proficient in English language. You both went to the West to preach. You're both very scholarly. And you both chant the holy name of Krishna." And then Babaji Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada, "Why were you successful?" And he was not. Srila Prabhupada became very embarrassed. And Bhanu Maharaj answered the question, because he had complete faith. He went alone to Tompkins Square Park to chant Hare Krishna, to begin this movement. And Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj said, "People praise me for having, you know, actual taste of holy name. I chant for my own benefit." He, Srila Prabhupada, made the whole world chant. And then Babaji Maharaj revealed something he'd seen decades before at Srila Prabhupada's sannyas initiation, conducted by his godbrother Keshava Maharaj. And in the parts of the ceremony when Keshava Maharaj was chanting the Vedic hymns, the devotees would sit, because Krishnadas Babaji was singing Hare Krishna throughout the whole ceremony. So, when it's time to chant the Vedic hymns, as Keshava Maharaj was doing, the devotees were singing to Krishnadas Babaji in a little choir with the Sankirtan, so the Vedic hymns could be audible. The devotees were signaling to him like that. And he looked at Srila Prabhupada and said, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj commented that at that instant I could see that he would be the leader of this Hare Krishna movement. Implicit faith in the holy name of Krishna. There again, we've heard it so many times, we might take it for granted. Srila Prabhupada left Radha Damodar Mandir next to Sri Rupa Goswami Sanani, where he received so much inspiration through darshan of the leader of the Rupanidhas, immersed in Krishna's pastimes, in Krishna's own home. Srila Prabhupada left to come to the Bowery. I always thought that New York is the perfect replica of hell. But then people from New York told me that no, in New York, hell means the Bowery. That's where Srila Prabhupada came. To bring the most refined essence of pure love for Krishna and make it accessible. According to Krishna's desire, Krishna was thinking, "I revealed my Braja Lila, people will be attracted. They'll follow Sadhana Bhakti, Bhairi, and they'll attain Vaikuntha." He was thinking that he had performed a disservice by his Braja Lila, because it would mislead everyone to Vaikuntha. So he thought, "I will have to come back and reveal another set of pastimes, unheard of in Vaikuntha, pastimes by which I myself, Krishna, am amazed." First took birth the holy name, rising from the chanting of Hindus bathing in the Ganges for the lunar eclipse, raising in the voices of first caused the advent of his holy name, and then he came himself. Always keeping the holy name before and with him. Srila Prabhupada made the holy name accessible to all the world in a form of sadhana, vaidhi bhakti, in which we worship the Lord of Vaikuntha by sankirtan. And the sadhana of the followers of Srila Goswami is infused with our raganuga, that when our sadhana becomes mature in worshiping the golden avatar as the master of Vaikuntha by the name Mahaprabhu, at a certain point he reveals his ultimate feature of Radha, Krishna, and Vrindavan, and we find ourselves home in that supreme destination. Simply receiving a precious gift does not necessarily mean that you will understand its importance, utility, and value. If you give a tiny grain of sugar to a little ant, you'll be so grateful and thank you. If you put a crushed jewel right before him, he's not going to be grateful. He's going to think it's an impediment and just wander his way around it. What to speak of a Chintamani gem, which is not comprehensible even to the highest intellects of mankind. We're not going to appreciate it because we don't have the intellectual ability, the devotional sentiments, or the capacity to fathom the utility and purpose of the holy name, because we're like that little ant relishing that tiny grain of sugar, unable to fathom the utility, purpose, or value of the Chintamani gem placed right before him. We don't have the ability to marvel and wonder at the glory of the gift presented to us. It requires some exceptional form of divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, in his 1972 Vyasa Puja lecture here in New Vrindavan, began with a verse from Genesis. In the beginning was the Word. And then he developed his Vyasa Puja lecture to reveal how the Word that was with God and was God assumed a form. And he illumined and expanded on the biblical version in his Vyasa Puja offering. It requires the most exceptional form of divine grace to understand the treasure presented to us by which the holy name, which we assume, we take for granted, we're producing it by our own senses, chanting with your tongue, hearing with your ear, and therefore you tend to think it's like any other sound of this world. Spirit of humility and gratitude. When the eastern horizon becomes tinged with the saffron, proclaiming that the sun is about to rise, Lord Gauranga would take his associates and dance to his gates, crying out, "Come, living entities, chanting the name of Krishna. You're sleeping in the lap of the witch, Maya." And Lord Nityananda would follow, calling out, "Come, living entities of the Kali Yuga. Give up these difficult paths of karma, jnana, and yoga, which only create trouble for the body and mind. You are looking for actual happiness, actual joy. I'm giving it. Chant the names of Gauranga and dance without reservation. The happiness I'm giving is positive, pure, ecstatic, loving joy, and is without any comparison." And the fortunate living entities took his message with gratitude and wonder and attained the perfection of life. And even those unfortunate souls who avoided him or even offended him, he would go as a beggar with scar on his teeth, "I beg you." He didn't say, "Chant the name of Krishna." Lord Nityananda said, "Chant the name of Gauranga. Worship Gauranga. And if you do, you will make my life and soul, and I will be your servant." Brajalila is accessible, attainable, through the pastimes and precepts of Lord Gauranga, which focus on the glories of the holy name, which by their dim glimmer grant liberation and freedom from sinful reaction as concomitant bifactors. When the sun of Krishna's holy name actually arises, it grants the purest, most esoteric form of love for Krishna, unknown even so many of Sri Govinda's personal associates, made accessible here in this world of death by Krishna's ultimate form of divine grace, our Sri Prabhupada. Sri Prabhupada ki jai. The reason is that when treasure of her service. And that is such front page news in the scriptures of creation that whatever happens in the other 99 out of 1,000 kaliyugas just falls off the back page. Because the front page news fills the entire Shastra. It would be like if President Bush and who's Rocket Boy?
The North Korean leader.
So I assume they're adversaries. Probably the most potential enemies of this world. Now, you know, that's common news. Whose forms and pastimes are all revealed in the Maha Mantra. Why do we call it Maha Mantra? Mantra means a prayer of invocation in which the holy name is couched within. And by constant chanting of that mantra, then the essence within the sound shell reveals itself to your consciousness. The Maha Mantra is thus called because it's not a mantra. It's not a prayer of invocation with the holy name couched within it. It is the holy names of Radha and Krishna themselves. Not only that, but in the vocative. Hare means Radhe. It's more emotive than calling out Radha. Radhe. Like, this is desperate. This is urgent. This is emotional. And when the Maha Mantra actually illumines the core of our hearts, we find that by that mantra, we've exhausted the vast expanse of reality. That mantra is the sound form of Radha and Krishna, beckoning our entrance into their lila and pastimes of love by the purifying effects of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Lord Chaitanya established the chanting of Hare Krishna. So in other yugas that they don't have to, how do they chant the holy name?
There again, we have no shastra which indicates exactly what happens in the other 999 out of 1,000 kaliyugas. The Lord definitely distributes, he propagates Nam Sankirtan. Furthermore, the holy name pervades every yuga, as Taraka Brahmana. In the Satya Yuga, the meditation, Treta Yuga, sacrifice, Dipari, deity worship, the essence of all these yuga dharmas is the chanting of the holy name, which activates them. And also activates all those other yuga dharmas in this Kali Yuga. this image that he has come to distribute.
Thank you very much. Which requires equals. You can't have that flow of pure spontaneous love with a master, because there's still that reverence. And even if you have a friend with whom you have a friendly relationship, you know, Sakya, if you find out that he's the son of a king, he's actually a prince, it's going to change your relationship. You know, some reverence just was admitted into the formula by that knowledge. He's not an ordinary boy like me, he's a prince. You can't play in the same way that you did before. For pure, spontaneous love, there has to be. And we're not deriding reverential love. It's exalted, it's glorious, but it doesn't please the heart of Krishna to the same extent of the Sakya, of friendship. What to speak of? Everything is friendship. Equals. What do equals do? They wrestle. Sometimes Krishna wins. Sri Dhamma has to carry him on his shoulders. That's actually very rare. Usually Sri Dhamma wins. And Krishna has to carry him on his shoulders. And the gopas are seeing practically every day Sri Dhamma wins the wrestling match and Krishna has to carry him on his shoulders. And finally they took Sri Dhamma aside and said, you know, this is not right. Because Krishna is the son of a king. He's a prince. You can't treat him like a friend.
Well, I'm the son of a king also, King Vishvamitra. I'm also a prince. We're equal. And he said, but Gargamuni said that he is like Lord Narayan. And Sridhara said, well, I don't care if he's like Lord Narayan. I'm still going to wrestle with him. And then they wrestled. Sridhara won. Krishna lost. Krishna carries Sridhara on his shoulders, who's proclaiming in great joy his victory over Krishna. And the gopas think he didn't get it. So when he put Krishna down, the gopas took him aside and said, we're not going to play with you anymore. He said, well, I don't want to play with you anyway. He said, you can't keep doing like that. So they shunned Sridhara. So feeling dejected and morose, he went off to the far side of Venukup and just put his head in his hand and started crying. And he felt this very tender touch on his shoulder and heard the sweetest words of confidence and assurance. Sridhara, I like it when you win. So don't listen to them. Listen to me. Requires no physical exertion to carry on my shoulders. It's an irrestrainable impulse of love. It's like if I find a beautiful flower, I want to raise it up for everyone to see. So, let's wrestle. And then they wrestle. But then, when Sridhara saw that Krishna killed Kamsa, who had the strength like 10,000 elephants. And everyone was so elated, especially Vasudeva and Devaki, who were sitting there, feel they're free from that the horrible treatment of that tyrant. And they were all elated, except Sridhara. He was depressed. And he confided in Krishna, I don't believe that you're Krishna. Well, then you just don't know me. Sridhara said, nobody knows you like me. So Krishna felt, what do I have to do to prove myself? Rest. And they rested. And Sridhara won. Krishna lost. Krishna had to carry Sridhara on his shoulders with arms raised, proclaiming to this world that Krishna loves being conquered by the devotion of his servant. That's equality. What to speak of Vatsalya, where Krishna has to take a subservient position. And he runs in fear of Mother Yashoda. She's got a stick. What to speak of Madhurya, when Krishna is just completely bewildered. And like a Bhagavatam says, like a toy in the man, in the hands of Sri. Can't do this in your sadhana. It's not part of Vaidhi Bhakti that we go on the altar and tell Krishna, what kind of big man are you? You and I are equal. You go to hell. That's an offense in Vaidhi Bhakti. Intolerable in Vaikuntha. Cherished in Praja. That is the kind of love that Lord Gauranga has invested in the holy name which Srila Prabhupada distributed to the world, inviting us to that supreme destination above and beyond Vaikuntha. Not to minimize Vaikuntha, which is always an astounding achievement. But Krishna is thinking, I have misled people, I have cheated them. Revealed Brajabhakti, but not the means to attain it. Therefore, I will come again in a golden form to reveal pastimes unheard of in Vaikuntha, pastimes by which I myself am amazed and attracted and bewildered. this 28th Divya Yug under the reign of Ashwatthamani, one time only the Deva Brahma, and Braja Bhakti becomes accessible through the Lord's divine grace in its most unassured and indiscriminate form, who we have come to know and love and serve as His divine grace. day that brunch, the son of his host in Butler, Pennsylvania, Sally Agarwal. The day that her son took his first steps and Srila Prabhupada was holding him by the hands, helping him stand and walk on his own, the smile on his face is best described by Sally's own words, Oshanak. Now, this brings us into a very personal realm. The spiritual master is representative of God and has to be conserved respectfully in dasyas. Not that there's rasa with the spiritual master, but there's rasa with Krishna reflected in that. The real essence of advancement is to understand the mind of the spiritual master and how to please him accordingly. If he is yearning for some personal interaction, don't cripple that by the reverence of worship. Keep it appropriate and in that context. But the higher principle here is the Lord reveals himself as the spiritual master is pleased. And if he is inviting some friendly dealings, Soma tells a story about when he was going to Darshan Srila Prabhupada, he put flowers along the way, and saw them in the meadows, and thought, he should offer them to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada sat down on the Vyasasa. Soma offered him a bouquet. Srila Prabhupada extended his hand that he wanted to take it, and Soma placed the flowers in Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And to this day, he regrets that he didn't quite get it. Srila Prabhupada is extending his hand, place it in my hand. His conditioning of Vaidhi was place it on his feet, which he did. And he regrets to this day, he didn't get it. Srila Prabhupada extended his hand. Placing the flowers at the lotus feet is reverential.
Prabhupada also liked a good joke.
Oh, yeah. He told it himself if nobody else could come up with it. What was his favorite? Gopal Bhattan. My king, what is the difference between you and an ass? He takes out a measuring rod and says, 2 feet. And the king loved it. And Srila Prabhupada cherished it. Srila Prabhupada, in one Vyasa Puja offering, one verse so much captured the mood and the mission of the heart of his guru. Absolute is sentient, as proved. Impersonal calamity thereby removed. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was so touched with that verse that he handed it around for all the devotees to see, as if proclaiming, this is really me.
pranams to Srila Prabhupada and praise him as the one who rescued this Western world from those dark clouds of impersonalism and voidism. We have a personal relationship with Guru. We have a personal relationship with Krishna. In both cases, we should always be respectful. But don't let that reverence cripple a natural feeling of parental love. He's our eternal father. And what is it about rasas? Dasi rasa is an overriding fear that kind of dominates the spontaneous feelings of affection. That's overcome in Shanta rasa, for the same quality, a free give and take of emotions and devotion. So the jewel of confidentiality is born in that rasa. Of all friends, probably experienced it yourself, the son is the most special and beloved of all. Introducing the son, parent, child, more confidentially even in friendship. And then there's Madhurya, husband, wife. And yet there are many things, or some things, there shouldn't be anything not shared between husband and wife. It's more confidential. So you can analyze the different rasas as the unfolding of confidence. From master servant to friendship to parental love to conjugal love. And then in conjugal, there's the Swakya, where Krishna is properly married to his queens. But really, that's it. It's still a master servant in Dwarka. And therefore, Krishna is always yearning and longing for Raja. And Rukmini, you know, is realizing that Krishna throughout the night is calling out to cows and gopis. So all the reverential love and worship of the 16,000 queens in Dwarka simply attracted his dutiful presence. Lord of the judges, his official position, which grew increasingly in conflict with the yearning of his heart, which is a protector of cows. And the only way that that conflict could be ultimately resolved is Krishna just concluded his Bhavalila.
Thank you so much, Mother. Wonderful sharing. I would like to reflect on a pastime that you were sharing between Srila Prabhupada, Krishna Das Babaji, and Ram Maharaj, where there was some transcendental comparison going on. I just you spoke around it, but didn't directly speak on the point of faith. Simply having the instruction is not enough. For example, Lord Chaitanya said, "My holy name will be chanted in every town and village around the world." And it was common knowledge in the Gaudiya Math and Srila Prabhupada's time. But Prabhupada reflected that his godbrothers didn't really believe it fully. They didn't have that full faith. And so even though some of them went to the West and preached, because they were lacking that full faith in the instruction, in the words of the Lord, and in the words of their spiritual master, the spiritual master didn't reciprocate with them in the sense of empowerment. The Lord didn't reciprocate with them through that empowerment. They spent some time, maybe even some years in the West, and then returned to India. And
with two Germans who became disciples of Krishna Bhaktisiddhanta, but it is a result of that preaching.
And some fame amongst their other godbrothers, but the real result didn't manifest as it did with Srila Prabhupada, because he had firm faith in the words of the Lord and the instruction of his guru.
You know, anybody can say have faith. The question is, how do you demonstrate your faith? As an emotion without demonstration is sterile. It's lifeless. And it also won't reveal the actual truth. Because everybody knew the prediction. Predicted the Yajiyat, it wasn't just Srila Prabhupada, you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave that instruction to everyone to go west and preach in English. Srila Prabhupada demonstrated that faith. I mean, others did to various degrees, which revealed realizations and accomplishments accordingly. Most of the Gaudiya Math devotees thought every town and village of the world means India. The only name was spread to every town and village of the world, which is India. And they even challenged Srila Prabhupada. It doesn't mean it's going to go outside of India. What to speak about across the ocean, which is forbidden by sadhana, for sadhanas. Especially when you're crossing the ocean, you go to the land of Balachas. Yeah, it's a forbidden custom. Hindu culture. Srila Prabhupada had complete faith that the world means the planet. Right here, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Gauranga wove a garland from the holy names of praying, which encompassed the whole planet. Srila Prabhupada took it holistically. He had the faith. He demonstrated it by acting upon it, and thereby achieved the results. That also came up in Champhat in Navadvip. Champhat's secret garden in Navadvip, where she runs down from Brajavik's Champhat flowers and goes back and makes garlands and all that. And Sakya is garden to grow Champak flowers when it's not the season in Braj. Well, it's Navadvip, where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati established a beautiful Gauranga temple and instructed one of his brahmacharis to stay there to serve the deity, which he still was when he went however many decades later. Anyway, that's where the reception party for Bhagavan Maharaj was held, outside the Gauranga temple in Champahat. Assembly during Parikrama. preaching, which was largely based on Professor Sunil's book and prepared lectures. We've brought the first European disciples to Bodhimaya as German pundits. So, big reception party, they're gone. And this, none of this is play the comparison game between gurus. You definitely don't go there. But when Krishna makes it clear, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was acknowledging the achievements of Bhagavan Maharaj. And that one Brahmacharya, he's still there. When we went serving the deities, he told the story that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was giving a lecture, and then he made a prediction within the lecture that one of my disciples will go to the West and basically bring all the world to Vrindavan. So this man in the Bhavati, he was looking straight at me when he said that. So he turned around to see if anybody was behind him, and Srila Prabhupada was sitting there, eyes locked. And Srila Prabhupada said, that disciples not going to be predicted, that one of my disciples will wholeheartedly fulfill the mission.
Serve a spiritual master with the proper humility and submission, and that helps us to increase our faith in the chanting. So, similar question is how to always have that fresh approach to chanting, or if that's not something that's necessarily within our control, or if it's given as more of a gift.
Okay, you're making the connection between the relationship with the spiritual master and the effect of the chanting, right? Well, they're very integral, because the syllables of all the name are available anywhere, everywhere. The sublime spiritual dynamic unfolding within the sound of the holy name requires the holy name to be received from a proper source, with a proper mood of reverence to the holy name and the agent who delivers the holy name. Because, you know, we hear it often, chant from your heart or with your heart. It doesn't mean just put more emotion into your chanting, although that's always helpful. It means your name, in comparison to the shouted name, which is available anywhere from anyone, the pure name, it has to be delivered by the authorized agent, the empowered spiritual master. And it has to be received with humility, because it's only when the heart is humble that it's open to receive. Beyond the consciousness and the mind and senses is the heart, meant to be the resonance of all in him. And when we have that humility, that our consciousness is respectful, our heart is open, then the holy name has access to the core of our being, where he, the holy name, awakens our sleeping soul so that we can chant spiritually with transcendental senses and hear spiritually with transcendental ears, holding connection to the heart. And yet, we don't want to be crippled by reverence to the spiritual master, to keep the relationship overly distant, because it's personal and it's affectionate, like a parent-child relationship. reverence and confidence. Reverence like a daughter for her father. Confidence like a son feels to her for his mother. All right.
Thank you so much. So grateful for your wonderful guest. Actually, few of the questions were addressed by the other questions. I have one more question. Maharaj, you are reiterating about when we become humble, then the heart would open. And then when the heart is open, then the holiness would go and
take root.
Take root, and then our consciousness would transform through that process.
Blossom.
Would blossom. So Maharaj, can you please elaborate on these lines, just to ensure that, you know, like, how do we, you know, approach this process?
Tell another pastime from Srila Prabhupada's pastimes in Vrindavan. In Sankirtan Prabhupada's yard, where the darshans were frequently held, devotees were asking philosophical questions and receiving appropriate answers. Then our dear Prabhupada Taru posed a question regarding his attempts in preaching to locals. He said to Srila Prabhupada, what do we do? We're preaching to farmers, and they say, we don't have time to worship Krishna. What do we say? So Srila Prabhupada is sitting in his Vyasasana, Drishtadyumna Maharaj fanning him with a peacock fan on one side, Drishtadyumna Maharaj, Prishna Krishna Maharaj on the other side, fanning. So, Krishna Maharaj says, according to Bhagavad Gita, in Srila Prabhupada, Krishna on his hand says, stop, don't bring out Bhagavad Gita. Now, this is very perplexing.
But what's the question, Maharaj? He asked him a question. Srila
Prabhupada asked him, you answer it.
But you answer.
Yeah. How would you answer that? So, according to Bhagavad Gita, he not only said, he put his hand up, stop. Don't bring up Bhagavad Gita. And this is very surprising. So he asked the other Maharaj, how would you answer this? He said, well, Krishna says, don't bring in Krishna. Now, we've never experienced Srila Prabhupada in this mood before. You can't bring up Bhagavad Gita, you can't bring up Krishna. I mean, his standard was everything has to be authoritative according to Bhagavad Gita and Krishna. So he's saying, everybody's perplexed. What is the point he's trying to make here? So he's, I'm going to move the microphone because he was sitting on his Vyasasana as if petting the two lions on the side. Then he leaned way forward. And he said, rasa! And everybody was shocked. He wasn't addressing Taru exactly, he was addressing the imaginative farmers who were so, rasta, can you make the sun shine? Can you make it rain? You're dependent on agriculture, means you're dependent on Krishna at every step in your occupation, and you say you have no time to worship him. Where is your gratitude? Now that's the answer to the question. How do you open your heart? It's pride that closes the heart and makes it hard. It's gratitude and appreciation which opens it and makes it soft. So when the holy name falls on a hard iron surface of your closed heart, it can't take root. What to speak of blossom and produce fruit. It takes deep root in a heart that's softened by gratitude. And open with humility. And fertile with appreciation. In a heart like that, the holy name experiences his supreme delight. Putting down roots and reaching up. So it's, and you know, for weeks after that, the devotees were in ecstasy, just mimicking Srila Prabhupada, like, rascal. Totally special. He couldn't get over it. That's all he could talk and think about for weeks after. So, here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada has granted us the postgraduate study of the deepest theology. Simply receiving your postgraduate degree. What do you call it? A degree that didn't go to college and just get it?
Honorary
degree. Or honorary PhD in advanced theology. It doesn't mean you don't have to work on the basics, which are preliminary, beginning with gratitude, respect, cooperation, love, and trust. So there's a habit of receiving your honorary PhD, making it, well, now I don't have to go, now I don't have to concern myself with morality and ethics and integrity and accountability. Nothing could be further from the truth. Now you have more of an obligation to those foundational principles because you're representing Krishna.
In relation to, or when you were answering Ishan Guru's
last question, you used the word syllabus, and it struck me that, for example, in any college course, the books that are required for that course, they're available on the open market, anybody can go buy them. But unless you have enrolled in the university and follow their process, your knowledge will not be recognized, will not be empowered. So just having the knowledge is insufficient. Has to follow the process given by gurus and scripture.
Hence the difference between knowledge and realization. Mm-hmm. Knowledge is at the head. Realization comes from the heart. Mm-hmm. And the empiric belief says that you have to believe in order to see. The faith response is, first you have to believe before you can see.
Can you reiterate that last sentence? I couldn't get that.
The empiric message is that seeing is believing. The theistic message is first you have to believe before you can truly see. As it is. Beginning with the eyes of faith. I mean, so many times Srila Prabhupada, consciousness, like above the mind, where realization begins and is complemented by what blossoms within the heart accordingly.
Is the consciousness
what would be the definition, or is the consciousness
consciousness
is like emanating from the soul?
Right. Consciousness, yes, is emanating from the soul. It is pure at its source. But it becomes contaminated by the touch of false ego and everything that follows. So yeah, the source of consciousness is always the soul. Based on how it's affected. Thank you very much for the Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Yes, sir. 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 Yes, sir.